Hey guys, Khan Porter here. I'm just chilling out in my bedroom here in Iceland. And I wanted to take a little bit of time today to start something that I'm hoping to make an ongoing project of mine. And that's a little kind of weekly, monthly, bi-weekly. I'm not quite sure how regularly I'm gonna do it. Let's see how well I can stay on top of this. But I wanted to do these little, I guess, like mental health check-ins with you guys. And the idea being, I've moved to a different country. It's been pretty crazy, looking at achieving a pretty crazy goal in trying to win the CrossFit Games this year. And obviously, mental health is something that's extremely important to me. It's something that I engage with a lot of you guys about regularly. It's something that I get a lot of questions about regularly. And ultimately, I wanted to start putting a lot more focus from my content into this kind of area for you. So yeah, gonna call this little project Weirdly Normal. The name comes from the idea that mental health can make us feel very weird and different at times. However, what I hope to do in sharing my own experiences with it is to make it seem a little more normal for everyone, because we all go through various ups and downs mentally, just the same as we do physically. And I really think that, I know I get a lot of positive feedback from people when I share my own experiences with this. And so I want to start doing it more regularly. One thing to note is that these are, of course, just my experiences. So as such, they're not a substitute for professional help. If you are suffering from some sort of acute mental illness, I highly recommend going and seeing someone professionally, not just listening to podcasts or videos as a substitute. So I guess what I want to talk about today is I moved to Iceland, which is kind of crazy to think about. It's crazy to even talk about. And it was done at very short notice. I actually heard from Annie Christmas Day that they had a spot in this team if I would be down to move. So it was a very fast turnaround, like a 2-week turnaround to actually pack up my life back in Australia and move here. And obviously moving here to take part in the season on the team came with, I mean, when I first got the message, I was over the moon. I was so excited at the opportunity to kind of do something like that, that I kind of said yes straight away, and which is a massive, I mean, we do a whole episode on saying no more. I think we probably will. I said yes straight away. And it was then only after I'd committed that I started to do what I do best and overthink and freak myself out about what this actually entailed. So yeah, like my initial thoughts were, this is an amazing opportunity for so many purposes. First of all, the opportunity to compete on a team and with the lofty goals we have of trying to stand on top of the podium at the games. Like, what an awesome thing to pursue. But from an individual perspective, I was really looking for some sort of big change this year, particularly as an athlete, as I kind of entered the back, let's say, few years of my career. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do this year in terms of training. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do in terms of competing. Back in Sydney, I'm juggling so many things. And I feel like I've tried to go all in on being an athlete before, and my own head gets in the way, my own schedule gets in the way, my environment gets in the way. And so being able to move here and do something so completely different, completely overhaul my life and make training such a priority, I'm really excited to see where I get to as an athlete with that. Working with a coach face-to-face every day. Nyami's amazing, far out. Working with the group of athletes we're working at, not only the rest of the team, but the individual athletes that are based out there that we're gonna have the ability to train with. It's been crazy, just even in the week, how different it is, that training environment. And unfortunately today, I'm sitting in my room because I've got this bloody cough that I can't seem to shake that I've had for months now. Just trying to get rid of that so I can actually train. But yeah, there was all the kind of opportunity was there. But at the same time, my mind kind of jumped to a few different places. So a lot of new, obviously with the thing, there's a lot of new faces here following me, which is kind of cool. But for those of you that don't know, like I have ADHD, anxiety, OCD, and I'm prone to the odd episodic depression instance as well. I've actually wrote a really good, really thorough article talking about my mental health journey, which you can read on the Morning Chalk Up, which there's a link in my bio for on Instagram. But so mental health is something that's had a pretty prevalent place in my life for a very long time. It's something that is quite big within my family unit as well. And as such, most things I do, there has to be a consideration for how it's going to affect my anxiety, how the environment is going to be conducive to my ADHD, whether I'm going to be able to focus and all this sort of stuff. And a decision as massive as moving internationally on a few weeks' notice obviously came with a bunch of different, I guess, hesitations and fears. A big one for me, this is going to sound weird, but was the idea that obviously being around so many high-profile athletes, there's going to be a lot of attention on the team. And with that attention comes, in my own head, elements of pressure. And I think more than anything else, I feel a pressure to just be normal, be as normal as possible. And I have spent the majority of my life trying to figure out what the fuck normal is. That's why I get so much gratification out of studying philosophy, because I guess philosophy as a discipline is just overthinking things that just come really natural to people, just like in day-to-day life, that I maybe don't feel as in control and clear and sure about, you know, things like why are we here? What are we supposed to do? What's good and bad, right and wrong? How are we supposed to behave? How are we supposed to act? These are all such ephemeral concepts to me. They come and go, and what I believe to be true changes so dramatically, so quickly. And as such, philosophy gives me structure to organize my thoughts around that, which I really, really enjoy. It's a little segue into philosophy. give it a read or whatever, study if you want, guys. But yeah, I guess so. I lost my train of thought there. But yeah, coming back to like when I was coming over here and all the different potentially scary things that kind of popped into my head. A big one was that pressure to be normal from people. So go back and rehash it over. That's how I do these things. And not really knowing what normal looks like. I'm in my head like, fuck, everything, like overanalyzing everything I do, everything I say to every person, come home and think, what did everyone think of you today? Did you convince them that you're a normal person, or do they think you're weird? And then, well, if they think you're weird, you are weird. Is that a bad thing, or is that just, are we all just fucking weird? That's an anxious thought loop that I just articulated for you right then and there. So anyone else that's dealt with anxiety before, you'll understand how these thought loops work. And it's when you get fixated on these ideas where you're like, ooh, you overthink something and it loops around and it loops around, and you can kind of circle on that over and over. And there's certainly been a lot of those since I arrived. The second is the pressure and the expectation. One of the things I always enjoyed about being an individual was it was training on my terms. And it was performance on my terms. If I didn't perform well, I only really had myself to deal with. And that certainly doesn't mean that I was super happy every time that I have performed poorly in competition. But ultimately, I was the only one that suffered if I did badly. And now I'm surrounded by people that are going to depend on me. And with that comes an element of pressure. And I don't feel the pressure so much in terms of performing when it comes to training. I can push myself really hard and I can work hard in the gym. What I feel that pressure on is, again, being that kind of rock of mental and emotional clarity, strength, and, you know, force that I can apply to just the team into competition when I am so prone to being to an assortment of mental fuckery, if you will. And then, you know, like there's the comparison. I knew that coming across, you know, when Annie announced that we'd be going team, there'd be an element of like, well, why is that guy there? And whether that was earned or justified or in my own head. Obviously, the comparison to other teams, mainly Mayhem. I have so much respect for the Mayhem guys and girls, particularly Rich. Like that guy is a fucking icon in this sport and an absolute legend. And to even be in the same conversation as someone like that is already intimidating enough for me, let alone to be being compared, I guess, directly to them. But it's all part of the process. These are all thoughts that the direction of my anxious thoughts, and I'm sure anyone with anxiety will agree, only varies from environment to environment and situation to situation. So whilst that's what my anxiety is centered around at the moment, if I was back home, I'm sure it would be centered around something else, probably more than likely choosing what the fuck I'm focusing on this year. And in some respects, coming here and having a very structured, outlined, specific focus, primary focus anyway, that being training to try and get in the very best shape I've ever been in and be an asset to this team that can potentially try and win the games, that alleviates some sense of stress insofar as having to come up with what am I doing on the day today? And I can really fix everything around that. So in some ways, that's probably been really good for my ADHD. In any given day, my priority is training and being mentally and physically the most ready to do that training, which means that I can let other things slide. I know for a start, I've dropped back to part-time study, and I'm literally going to dictate the load of that part-time study based on how I manage it in the first few weeks and juggling that, because I don't go back to uni for a couple more weeks. Work-wise as well, I've got some really cool things lined up that will hopefully allow me to make more regular income rather than having to kind of scrounge for things here and there. And then there's just my personal life. I mean, back home, there's social activities multiple times a week every week. It's dark and cold and I'm just in my room. I mean, I'm sure we'll start to socialize a little bit more, but life is in that gym currently and I love it. I love having this clear focus. So I think something that I really wanted to do with these mental health check-ins as well was, rather than just talking about my own mental health, kind of give you guys a look at what I'm doing to manage the mental health things that I do talk about. So the anxieties of the pressure around performing, the focus and all that sort of stuff. And I think a huge one, and probably the most prevalent and timely thing to talk about now, is that environmental control. So looking at, say, Sydney, where I was based, versus coming here to Iceland to narrow my focus as an athlete, I'm in the last couple of years that I'm going to have competitively, not just because of my age, but because of my ability and how good everyone else is getting. You know, for me to continue to be competitive, I need to be kind of all in on training. There are other people that can juggle stuff. I'm not good enough to do that, and I'm aware of that. However, I am good enough to be competitive if I am committed to training, and I'm sure of that. I'm confident within that. But my environment back home in Sydney was not conducive to that. Like I sort of said, at school, gym that, you know, I'm not a primary owner at all in, but still have some degree of involvement in back there. Social life, so friends, family, all sorts of different bits and pieces, work stuff that pops up that's ad hoc and it's kind of a little all over the place. These are all things that push and pull my attention. I mean, study is a massive one in different, and that pushes and pulls my attention in different directions. If you look at, I started the game, first made the games in 2014, and since then I've only missed the games twice. Both those years have been the years that I've been trying to balance training and competing with full-time study. So that speaks volumes to me. And also when you add in the environment, the kind of turbulent environment of back home where there's so much else going on all the time, it really was not the right place for me to go all in on being an athlete. And so just changing that environment and understanding what about my environment is triggering my anxiety, is triggering my ADHD or fueling my ADHD, that inability to focus and move from things to things, and trying to remove those things from the environment. So that's a massive, moving to Iceland to do that is a massive, massive life change. Not everyone has the luxury of being able to fundamentally change their geographic location to eliminate potential triggers and stresses. On a smaller scale, how I do that, particularly when it comes to things like study and work, where I need to be really focused and dialed in, is I make very clear separations of spaces for things that I do. So when I'm at home, I try my very best not to study there. I try my very best not to do work there. I'll go to the university library or a cafe. I like somewhere where there's a little bit of background distraction, because I saw a brilliant meme about this. If I don't have background distraction, so stuff that I can kind of glance up from my work and look around at and have that kind of low-level stimulation, I'll create background distraction in my own head, which typically means that my thoughts will go all over the place and I won't be able to focus. I'll have to read a page over and over again. I'll get massive writer's block when I'm doing it. So being in an environment that I am specifically in that place for that activity is massive for me. And then having the right level of kind of distraction, that's another one. Another degree, another level of that kind of control is only doing things for short bursts of time. That's more conducive to my ADHD and my focus. And I think I'll probably do a different episode altogether on focus when I feel like that's been something that I've been struggling with. But that environmental control is definitely something that I highly recommend, tweaking different environments to suit their purposes for you. But I guess, yeah, the thing that's been the most difficult over the last couple of weeks and genuinely probably been the worst it's been in a while is my anxiety. It's been really bad. I've struggled sleeping. I've been sick and run down, and quite often my mental health has a huge impact on my physical health. And I haven't been managing it well, because my attention has been so narrowly focused. So what I've started to do over the last couple of days was implement some little self-care routines back into my day-to-day. So a big one is getting up in the morning a little earlier, doing a 10-minute meditation. I find that it'll take me a good sort of 10 to 15 days of consistency here to start to feel the benefits of that meditation. I use the Headspace app and just do 10 minutes. And then some journaling using prompts that I got from the holistic psychologist, who's one of my favorite Instagram pages. Her book was, I use this term very lightly, but it's fucking true, life-changing. And I use some prompts from her, which is what's called her future self journaling. So it's all about working on some particular thing. And for me at the moment, it's my anxious overthinking thought loops that are centered around things that, first of all, that are imagined most of the time. These are scenarios and situations I make up, and then challenging them. So I use a little bit of CBT stuff that I learned through my studies as a counselor to kind of help, you know, intercept when I feel like I am going on an anxious loop. I also use something that I took from the holistic psychologist book, which is the 90-second rule. And that's basically when I have the physiological symptoms of anxiety. So when I get anxious, I feel it. I feel it sort of start in my upper stomach and it comes and sits in my chest. Sometimes at the back of my throat, it feels a little bit tight there too. When I feel those things coming on, I know that those effects will only last 90 seconds, provided I just lean into them and don't try to resist them or let them fuel ongoing anxious thoughts. So when I do feel the physiological things, I try to give myself a minute and a half, that 90 seconds, to just sit with it before I act on any of those feelings and thoughts. It doesn't always work. Certainly has not always worked over the last few weeks, but it's something that I'm just becoming more aware of at the moment to really try and make sure that I'm catching the more profound anxious attacks I have, where it is stimulating that physiological response, before I go and act on them with some sort of maladaptive coping mechanism. And those maladaptive coping mechanisms for me can look like a lot of things. Distraction and numbing. So just like, I'll just open Instagram and scroll aimlessly, or some sort of stupid act. Lashing out but maybe like the people pleasing. So if it's a particular person or group of people that I'm feeling anxious around, I'll go and be like, hey, like, why don't, like, I'll just go and try and organize something or put myself in a situation I don't necessarily want to be in with that. It's a bad one that needs to work on. People pleasing can have its own episode as well. Lots to say on that. But yeah, there's the 90-second rule, and then there's journaling as well, and those practices. I know that when I'm meditating regularly, my emotional regulation is just better. Emotional regulation is something that ADHD has a profound impact on. It's something that's not spoken about a lot when discussing ADHD, because quite often ADHD is just seen as... attention stuff. But yeah, when my ADHD is bad or when my mental health's bad, my emotional regulation is terrible. And so I have to actively work on that as well. There's other things like getting outside, getting sunshine, like trying to get outside when the light's out, trying to get into some sort of routine with my sleeping. All of these things have a profound impact on my mental health and well-being. And they're things that I'm now currently really trying to work on. Obviously moving around, eating lots as well, trying to eat as much food as I can. But yeah, just taking that time for myself, even today, being as much about resting for my physical health, it's been profoundly beneficial to have a day of just downtime for me to recharge my mental batteries too. So yeah, it's, I guess, just that awareness of the anxiety, looking at my triggers, looking at what's been triggering me, looking at what particularly, and a lot of that comes out in the journaling, having specific prompts when you journal rather than just journaling ad hoc. It's actually really beneficial when you're trying to work through a specific problem. I'm a massive advocate of ad hoc journaling when you have strong feelings and stuff, but that works really well for those specific things, rather than it being necessarily super conducive to working on something that you want to improve long-term. So because my anxiety has been playing up at the moment, I am using journal prompts that are based around that anxiety. Those journal prompts, again, that I got from the holistic psychologist. So yeah, guys, really hope I can make this a little more regular. Really hope I can make my content a little smoother. That's definitely a lot longer than I want to talk to. I don't really want to talk for more than 10 minutes most times that I do this. But as always, if you guys are dealing with something yourself, please reach out, get some help, speak to someone. Don't use podcasts and self-help resources. And I am so fucking guilty of that. I am so guilty of trying to self-help. And it can be beneficial, but it can also be terrible. But yeah, I really hope you guys are doing okay. I really can't wait to share more of this journey with you. More of the physical and the fitness side of things and the exciting thing. I'm living in Iceland, but also like this open and honest journey in which I can share with you guys, some things about my own mental health, and hopefully in that find some common ground with some of you so that you are able to maybe better articulate your own issues or just feel that sense of connection and that you're not as weird as you think, that this stuff is weirdly normal. Catch you guys.